into Old Navy. One day only, today. Get 50% off all sweaters for the family, including all cozy crew necks and fabulous Fair Isles. Hurry, it's just one day only, today, at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Hurry, ends tonight. Valid 2/18, excludes in-store clearance.
Cheer bomb. We are strong. We are powerful. We are cheerleaders. And now, here are your hosts, Marcus and Marisol.
Hey, this is Sean, the producer guy. Before we start the show, we want to let you know that because of some of the content discussed in this episode, we recommend that listeners be age 13 and older. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Awesome.
Hello, Marcus. I like that. We're both awesome.
Is that how it started?
I believe so.
Hello,
I don't
Marisol.
Know if they caught that.
That's a great way to start.
You are awesome.
No, you are awesome.
How are you?
I'm so good. I had the best night ever.
I know. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
I got to see Cher last night in Raleigh, and I was outside of myself. It was berserk.
I love her. I love her. I love her. I love her.
What an icon. She is so classic. She's a woman is 72 years old and did like 8 wardrobe changes, including wigs. She was wearing heels and she was just like all over the place. And I was all there for it. Oh my God. I'm still shaking. I'm
That's
still
awesome.
Shaking.
I love that. I would have loved to have seen her. My weekend wasn't so exciting. It wasn't bad. It was sweet. But no share. No share for me. No. I worked this weekend. I had a lot. Not in a bad way, though. It's fun. Let me rephrase this. When I say work, it's sort of like, I think I worked on stuff that's important to me and fun for me and good for, like, it's not a hardship.
Yes.
Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I feel it. I dig it.
So it was nice. It was like, this week's going to be really nice for me because one of my biggest basic job, you know, like, that's not cheer bomb related. Mm-hmm. They're starting tomorrow and the rest of the week are out of town. So basically it's not like a week off, but it's a slow week.
A slower
for
week.
That. So
heck yes.
Well, it just allows me to also work on other, like,
do
write
others.
And stuff.
Yes.
And do things. So I'm excited.
Heck yes.
So a couple people to thank, and I'm just ready to get to the interview because I'm so happy and excited about this episode. But I need to thank Kennedy, our intern.
Oh my gosh, yes. She is killing it.
Okay. So this is just how funny life is. I thought, you know, when I sent out the call for an intern, I thought I was going to be helping them out. I thought if I found the right girl, I could help, like, write a college
recommendation,
you know, give them some advice. I could mentor them. That's where I was thinking. And so this weekend we were, you know, kind of texting here and there about social media stuff. And I don't remember what I was posting, but I sent to both of you like, hey, why can't I, oh, it was the blog. Why can't I link it?
Yeah.
And
and musical stickers.
Where's my musical stickers on Instagram? And Kennedy so sweetly replies back, oh, you have to be verified to be able to link. And then my favorite part was, you have to have 10,000 followers. I'll post it on my, like, extra account. I was thinking about this. I don't look at numbers too much, like social media numbers. Like, mm-hmm. After I learned with the emoji keyboards, when I learned that a number of followers doesn't necessarily translate to a return on dollars, you know,
yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
I'm just saying they work hard for every dollar they get. I'm not disrupting that. But if you have 100,000 followers, it doesn't mean you're making $100,000 a,
nope.
You know, post.
Nope.
So after that, it didn't play a role. And I'm not a 14-year-old cheerleader, so I'm not really, I don't know. I'm just not concerned with numbers. I don't look at things. I never, when I was interviewing her for this internship and everything, I never thought to look like, oh, how many followers? She has fan pages. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. So thank you, Kennedy. I think you're the perfect fit. You're going to help this old lady get her social media game under control. I have no idea. I just post stuff. Like,
no, but it's good. It's good.
Did you see
that? But I do the same thing too.
Yeah. I think there's a strategy. I've heard, you know, I keep getting sold, not sold, but pitched, you know, oh, do this and you'll get this and do that. I'm like, the only numbers I care about are the downloads.
Okay.
And those were killing it.
Yes. So, yes.
1,700 for 3 weeks in a row. Since the Kenley Pope interview, we've added 1,700 listeners each week. That's bananas. Welcome. Thank
hey.
You. So thank you. Thank you, Kennedy. Thank you, new listeners. And I wanted to thank the guests because I don't know if they're aware, but it's like everyone's numbers jump. Excuse me. When a new person discovers mm-hmm. us and they're into it, they go back and listen to everything. Mm-hmm. So everyone's pot. Like I sent something to Ricky and Kennedy Thames. I was like, oh, by the way, you're number one again. the number one pack, because everyone just goes back to the beginning. So people are listening to us, you know, from last year. And it's kind of...
That's so awesome. One of the parents at my gym, I was at the gym on Saturday, and she was like, are you on a podcast? And I was like, yeah, girl. And she was like, I've been listening to like new stuff. And I was like... That sounds like Marcus. That's Marcus. Yeah, girl. Hey.
They didn't know?
No.
Oh, that's
no,
funny.
I'm always sharing stuff.
Yeah.
But
that's funny. Yeah, no,
but it's so cool.
When people find you, they find you. And podcasting is different. It's like I felt kind of guilty because I'm in this podcast. I don't know what to call it. Not a support group, but it's like podcasters get together and like help each other out and mm-hmm. ask questions and stuff. And someone had posted for like if you have a new show going like you know within the year mm-hmm. how many downloads are you at, and it like you have to understand if you are a like NPR or a famous person that decides to have a podcast, that's a different set of numbers. I'm talking about, you know, average Joe signing up and doing a podcast. Our numbers are just phenomenal.
Yes.
They're not like, oh, so everyone's posting their numbers, you know, like, oh, I got, you know, X number, you know, 500, I got 400. Because it's podcasting is not, it's a different medium. It's not like YouTube. It's not like, I don't know what else, social media in itself. It's, they get to know us.
Yes.
Then they actively select to listen to us for an hour a week, which is kind of cool. But there's also that sense of like they know you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was telling you before we started recording, like, you know, with these new listeners, I'll get sprinkled over into my personal Facebook, like mm-hmm. parents contacting me, which I want to make a note to everyone. You know, thank you for listening, liking us, following us. A lot of people write in to me, parents. I think I've struck a chord with parents, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And so they'll contact me with that's the thing about podcasting, whatever, like if they find the podcast that I talk about Mean Girls, which was whatever episode 9, I think, with Ryan, and it resonates with them, then at that point they'll write it about it now. So it's this weird like timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Thing. But what I wanted to say is thank you for writing. I try to reply to everyone, but I mean, I've kind of screenshotted some of these to you. They're like very thoughtful, long pieces. Like, you know, people share a lot of what they're going through. And I hope I've replied to everyone. If I haven't, it's not my intention not to. I think I have, though. I think if you've taken the time to write me, I've tried to take the time and reply back.
Absolutely. People like us. Ooh, this weekend was a very special weekend for Cheer Bomb also.
It was our 1 year anniversary.
It was our 1 year anniversary
happy
of our first
birthday.
Episode.
Yes. We said happy birthday in November, but that's when we started the company.
Yes.
But when we did our first podcast was January 26th. Yeah. I saw that in the memories and I shared it in the Instagram story.
It was so exciting.
It's been 1 year.
1 year. My heart stopped a little bit and I was like, has it really been? It was awesome. So thanks, guys.
Yeah. So back to like the numbers. So in this little group I put, yeah, everyone's putting how many downloads they've had. And I'm like, oh, you know, we're 24 episodes in. You have 20, like, you know, we'll break 25,000 in the next week or so. And everyone was just like, the podcasters were just like, oh my, you know, like the little rocket emoji. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I was just like, oh.
That's so cool.
I was very grateful. So, yeah, year. I'm excited.
Yeah.
So cheerleading, go back to cheer. We didn't have a major competition, but mm-hmm. we did have competition weekend, and I hope everyone had a good one.
Yes.
The only thing I saw really on social media that was kind of like, I thought we might need to talk a little bit about it. I don't want to give too much time to it, was Ryan's apology. We talked about the Ryan situation.
Yes.
Last episode, and she was caught on not caught, that sounds nefarious. She was having a sleepover or something. I don't know. She was taped or Snapchatted. Oh, I hate being an old person.
She was recorded singing a song and saying some words that seem super inappropriate.
Okay.
And
social media exploded before majors. There's a lot of ugly social commentary going back and forth. I mean, it was just kind of brutal.
Yeah.
Then Senior Elite and C4, right? Didn't they both win majors?
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, you know, Senior Elite did.
Yeah.
I want to say they, because Cheer Extreme just like, I feel like they, what is it called?
C4 swept. Gets everything.
They swept, but I don't know. I don't remember. But the point is she went on and performed magnificently.
Absolutely.
And I said in the podcast last time, I said that I was just very happy to see it not like stain her soul mm-hmm. Or something to that effect. And I want to come back to that part, but going on with the Ryan story, she, so this weekend, I think it was this weekend or Friday, I'm not sure when, she did an apology video.
Yes.
She came on and did an apology video. So what, did you watch it?
Yes, I did.
What do you think?
I thought it was very sincere. It was very, very mature of her. To do so, she's only 14, being in such big light, everyone sees her. So I think it was very good.
It was hard for me to watch the first. I had to watch it like twice because the first time I kind of stopped because I just wanted to hug her. I was just like I could see that, you know, there was a lot of emotions in her doing that apology video. So I haven't written in a while. A blog post or anything for Cheer Bomber, anyone. My writing has kind of been stunted after I didn't publish a book last fall. But this actually inspired me to write, which I hadn't done for a while. And it was weird because it was writing is a lot like flexibility. You don't use it, you lose it. Yeah. So it took a couple of variations to get the piece out. And I did send it to her parents because I didn't want to use this as a, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't want the story to keep going, but I felt like I had something to say about it. So I wrote a piece and I got their blessing. It's on our website at Mom's Corner. And it basically speaks to the greater, like I thought it was a teachable moment in cheerleading. And I think it's worth a read if you're interested.
And that what it's titled, Teachable Moment in Cheerleading?
Yeah.
Yes.
A Teachable Moment in Cheerleading. As a picture of a lotus flower, because, you know, the lotus flower is beautiful and it mm-hmm. grows out of sticky mud in social. So I thought in that metaphor or analogy, whatever it is, social media is the mud.
Yes. Oh my gosh, very much so.
And so circling back to that comment about not sticking to her soul, I have to take a second to talk about that. It goes back to also the new, you know, people that have followed us and parents who have reached out to me. Because I feel like my worlds are blending. So when I said, because it's not like we get a ton of emails. I'm not trying to pretend we get a ton. But when I get one, it's an outlier. When I get two, to me, that's a trend. That means, okay, two people that have listened to have the same question. You know, so let me address it. So I got two of those about what did I mean when I said I was glad it didn't stick to her soul. And so what I meant is shame, you know, we all, let me try to like articulate. What I meant is that a lot of hate and shame was thrown at her when it first surfaced. Mm-hmm. And sticking to the soul, what I mean by that is that any shame or negative emotions or energy sticks to her. Things happen to us in our life, everyone. And sorry, that dramatic pause was because I heard my dog barking. And I feel as adults, our biggest road to healing is to find those moments that have stuck to our soul that caused a wound and heal them. And I was, when she came out for majors and she did that little shake with her, was it the one, and also Spirit of Hope, when she came out, you could see on stage, she wasn't letting this
dim her light.
And that's what I meant. It did this, like, mud can like stick onto your soul.
Absolutely.
And it's such a hard thing to rub off, the older you get and the more you don't deal with it. So that's what I meant. And so one of the emails I got was, asking, went and did a little search about me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much of my stuff they've consumed, but they kind of understood that I also, in my own personal life, am very much about spirituality and gratitude and practices and stuff like that. And so they found, you know, the gratitude coach stuff that I do, which is basically I work with people on stuff like that. Mm-hmm. that's separate than Cheer Bomb. And it's something, it's not something that needs to, it might slip in here, but I'm not here to like talk about spirit. This is not a spirituality podcast. I'm very open about it. I have no shame about it. It's how I live my life. But yeah, that was kind of weird because it's like worlds colliding.
Yeah.
Smushum. Yes. What do you feel like having this podcast, people think they know you?
I haven't really gotten, I'm not that cool to have people email and friend request me. Maybe on like Instagram, on like my personal Instagram, a lot more cheerleaders have started following me and they've just been like liking stuff, but like I don't think no one really talks to me. I did get a DM about a girl that lives in like Arizona and apparently she used to cheer like in Wilmington, in Raleigh, but
yeah, but I'm also, like, I have writing out there. There's stuff for people to, you know, or old podcast. I mean, I haven't done that
podcast. Googleable.
In over a year, and it still gets down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that was my freak out was, you know, I just, you know me, I feel it's very important to me to be authentic.
Yes.
Like, and, and, if you follow me on my personal Facebook and you listen to Cheer Mom and, you know, you are asking me questions from gratitude, you know,
yeah.
It's a different world. So it kind of like, it made me pause because I was like, I just want to be authentic,
yeah.
But I'm all those things. But people that listen to the podcast, who don't know me might get a sense that they know me from listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
And that's,
there's more,
there's like, spirituality is just one thing. And that's like a new thing. That's like 7 years. I was an atheist for most of my mm-hmm. life, like an obnoxious in your face, you know, like I was a caricature of the like crazy, you know, atheist, obnoxious, oh. You know, When I first moved to Wilmington, yes, Wilmington, North Carolina, this is almost 20 years ago, I was using the word atheist, where I had people in town tell me, because it's a very religious town, say, could you just say something softer? Can you use it, you know, agnostic? And I would get all like in their face, like, no, I have the right to be an atheist. And I, it was after my... or probably predates my divorce. It's when me personally, my divorce was like an atom bomb to my life. Mm-hmm. Nothing was the same. It's not what I wanted my life to be, or I thought.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was an atom bomb. And in that atom bomb, I went down this path of seeking, like if it was going to happen, then I was going to learn from it. I was going to take this opportunity and figure out how to grow. And no one's more surprised than me that it took me down this path. But it's not for this podcast. That's, you know, that, and I am starting the other podcast. But that's for people that are want that. That's mm-hmm. not, the Cheer Bomb podcast is about cheerleading.
And not happy.
yeah. And the other thing I worried about when people follow me on Facebook is I'm also... a flirt and a huge, like, nasty sense of humor. You know that.
So be prepared.
So I just don't want to, like, freak people out. All right. I have two little things, and then we're going to hit it off with our interview. The two little things are, it's a call to action, or I don't know if that's the proper term. Kennedy, let me know. But no, I'm looking for anyone, any mom, any parent, any gym owner, any coach, anyone who has valuable information to share about fundraising. Because it's common in cheerleading.
Yes.
People are sharing, get their bids, and fundraising's, you know, I know I've been hit up. That I have gotten a lot of.
Really?
Because last year we sponsored.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I totally understand. But I thought it would be a good topic to find an expert to come on. And it doesn't have to be like an official expert. Someone who's just good at it. There are people in the world who have talents, you know.
Absolutely.
So if you know anyone that's good at fundraising, has been successful, that you just wish, you know, every gym could have a person like that, please let us know. Marisol at Cheerbum. And then the second one, I know you know because you're a coach. But I was really looking for, like, an official of, because this I've gotten more than several times, actually, is about bids. Like, someone who can come on the show and talk to our audience about how bids work. Like, if you get a paid bid, what does that mean? If you, how many wild card bids are actually, like, the whole bid
mm-hmm.
thing. Because I can't answer those questions, and I'm not even sure. What they are, and someone who could just talk about the process, like what to expect for Summit and D2, and like a Summit expert.
Heck yes. Heck yes.
So any of those two, if anyone knows anyone, please send them our way. Okay. So before we start this interview, I'm so excited. I totally fangirl.
Yes.
Like
this was your turn.
This was my turn to fangirl. Tanya Rice is on the podcast. She is the mother of three exceptional children, three or maybe four, but
I think it's
three. And I follow her on Instagram and I followed her journey. And I love you, Angel Rice. This is not a thing against you, but I really wanted to talk to Don. Like, I was pursuing her.
Yes.
And we finally got a time to talk to her. It was compressed because she's a very busy woman. So we didn't do like rapid fire, and it's not our typical. And I don't even know what we like. But I honestly feel like I was meant to call her, and I was meant to have this podcast with her because it was meant to be.
It was.
Okay. Here's the wonderful, beautiful Tanya Rice. And I am so excited to have, actually, I'm doubly excited to have because we have
Tanya Rice. She couldn't even say it.
On the podcast, and we have another secret little guest with us, but
we'll do that in a minute.
We'll introduce her in a second because she's a repeat. She's a repeat guest. Tanya. So I have been wanting to have you on the podcast because, A, I'm a fan of your Instagram. I feel like I know you, which I know is really weird. But I love when you show the work that you get done cosmetically because I'm right there with you. And I love that. I love the love that you have for your family. That comes across so clearly.
It's so strong.
And I might be wrong on this. Do you have two or three athletes that you've raised? Or more?
Three. All three of them.
All three. All of them in cheerleading and tumbling?
Yes.
Okay.
My oldest daughter, Kiki, she went from being on level five teams at Stingrays and winning a lot of nationals to actually now being a tumbling coach at the gym I work at now, which is ATA Cheer, and she actually has a team she coaches.
Oh, awesome.
So she is in it as well. And she went to school for makeup and hair, so we can kind of sort of keep
combined.
It in the family business. Yeah.
Awesome. So I think it's fair to say you guys are family, are cheerleading royalty. Is that fair to say?
No, we absolutely. I'm gonna put it out there. Absolutely.
Right. So you've got Angel Rice as your daughter, and then you've got am I saying this right? The punch front king. did I not get that right?
No, absolutely.
Jaden.
But here's the difference between like you and, you know, me as a parent. You teach tumbling, don't you? Like, I've watched some videos. Like, you're a coach as well, or?
Yes, correct. I do teach tumbling. I teach all aspects of cheerleading, but tumbling is the main aspect now.
So, let's start with you. So, tell us, how did you come into the industry of cheerleading and rise to, you know, royalty status?
Oh, wow.
No pressure.
Basically, I was at a Barnum Brothers hair show with Angel. Angel had to be like 3 years old. And at that time, cheer sport and the hair show was combined. So you saw all of these little cheerleaders or whatever. And then I was like dragging Angel into this hair show. And she's like, I want to see. I want to know what's going on. And we made our way through. And the first floor we got to and we saw cheerleading was a team called Georgia All-Stars. And they were amazing.
Phenomenal.
I never seen anything like it. And that was it. From there, she was like, her whole life was changed. When I tell you it was changed, it was totally changed. So what I did is I did research up on it, and I was like, how old? I was pretty young back then, and I was like, I looked it up, and I saw that it was very, very expensive. So I was like, Angel, I don't know. You don't have to think about this because we can't do that. Like, that literally is a luxury sport. We can't afford it. No. So me trying to make her hate it, I'm like, okay, what if mommy trained you? What if I teach you everything you need to know about? Then we can find you a real coach that can actually help you out. Okay, so since you're promising me that eventually you'll get me a real coach. I'll do whatever you say. So I tortured her day in, day out. I made her weightlift. I made her run. I made her,
Mike Jossie.
I made her so strong at the age of 3 to going on to 4. She wasn't giving in. There was no like, it was no like, no, I'm not going to do it. It was like, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? So then I decided to, at that time, my oldest daughter started going into gymnastics, which my mom, you know, my mother took her to gymnastics and, you know, wanted her to do something because she was like a dancer and everything. Me and Angel would go sit and watch the gymnastics coach train my oldest daughter. So we would go home and we would do it 10 times harder so we can get it better than the oldest daughter, because it was like a competition between Angel and Angel and Kiki growing up. Who's going to be the best one? Who's going to be the best one? In all actuality, a lot of people don't know, Kiki was always better than Angel when it came to tumbling, because her legs were so much longer. It was just so much graceful. It was just so much prettier. But when it came to Angel, Angel could do everything, but it looked so bad. It was terrible.
Can I
just interrupt you to just say a side note to my daughter? Mommy's never going to do that. Uh-huh. Like, mommy can't coach you. Okay, going back to you. That is amazing.
And so that's how it really started off. Me telling Angel no and me telling her I can only be her coach, because at the time I only can afford what I could afford. And that was just really nothing. And I learned everything through computers and watching other gymnastics coaches. And I came home and I trained Angel. Angel learned everything, basically every level 5 skill that you can possibly think of within 1 year. So by the age of 5, she had all full level 5 skills. Wow. I mean, at the time, I didn't know that they were level 5 skills. I just thought maybe, hey, they were just, you know, flips or whatever. And you know,
that's
and then other coaches. Yeah, that's how it went.
Well, let me.
So she was 5 years old, and doing mm-hmm. level 5 skills. When do you learn how to walk? Like 2.
Like 9 months old.
No, Angel,
that is
Angel
crazy.
Walking the end of her 7 months, going into 8 months.
Well, I want to just come back to you, because I mean, one day I hope to have Angel on the podcast, and I would love to have her on, but I want to focus on you, because that is such an amazing story. Like, as a mother, to do that, like, first of all, it teaches everyone that if you really want something and you do not have the money for it, you can still achieve it.
Like, you can do literally anything. Mm-hmm.
And you were doing this probably before YouTube was really like a thing, I'm imagining. Yeah.
It was no YouTube. It was basic, like books at the library and going to sit at the local gym and just look at other people training. We come home and we do it not how they do it. We do it with weights on, with weight vests, weights on our ankles. Like, you know,
well,
she only
I need to train with you
to take showers. You know, it was just, that's how it was. And
that's it. But, you know, that's such a testament to you too, and to like a mother's love. Like, that's, you know, when we see our children love something like this, like when they connect to it so much, you know, I'll start a podcast. She'll train her child. Like, you just want to give them the world, the thing that lights them up. So, you know, on behalf of your children, thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Because they are insane. They are wild. That is, like, I can literally watch them tumble. I can watch videos of them day.
They're, to me, you guys are like the Kardashians. You remind me of the Kardashians in the sense that, you know how, like,
everybody says that.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, it's, what I love about you guys is you feel the love. Like, whatever anyone has to say about the Kardashians, you know that they love each other and they've got each other's back. Mm-hmm. Like, no one's going to mess with, you know, your son.
Oh, no.
Because you can
get. I am so hard on him too. It's crazy because everybody's like, oh, he's just got this perfect dog. I'm so hard on him. Like, before I let him do anything, I make him do so many backhand swings and doubles before he does anything, because to me, I think he has the worst backhand swings on the face of this earth. It just bothers my soul. It changes my soul. And I don't understand why they don't get better. It's just, but to everybody else, it's like, I don't see it that way. I'm like, we got to work on backhand.
So,
yeah.
So I think it's time to introduce your business partner, who's already been on our on our podcast. Hi, Sharita.
Hey, girl.
Hello.
Welcome back.
This is so much. Oh, this is like
a
surprise.
Thank you for having me back. Thank you, Tanya, for bringing me back.
So you, we heard a little bit about it on Sharita's episode, but you two started Black Girls Cheer together, your business partners, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so we started with Nation of Tumblers. Nation of Tumblers preceded Black Girls Cheer.
Oh, okay.
So that's where we first connected was through Tanya. Tanya had already started Nation of Tumblers as a Facebook group. And we really began with Nation of Tumblers.
This is going to be really... Hold on, you're going to have to repeat that. I'm sorry, you went out a little... What? Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
There we go.
Hello. Yes, we're here.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. This is, I can totally edit this out if you two aren't comfortable with this, but I'm dying to ask this question.
Yes.
You know, in gymnastics, you heard the doctor that, you know, groomed all those girls. And they had that horrible experience.
Mm-hmm.
So this weekend, I watched that R. Kelly docuseries. Did he? And we're going to edit this out. But did you guys watch that series at all?
We did. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I know it's not related to cheerleading, but oh my god!
No. He was wilding.
You want to hear something crazy about that?
Yes. Well, let me get the audience a backdrop who might not know about R. Kelly and, you know, the remix of Ignition is not in the top 10 of their playlist. He is an R&B artist and he's famous and he's worked with many, many artists and produced many hit singles. And he is basically a known groomer. And I'm using that word grooming because it's related to what happened in gymnastics, where he groomed fans, young Black girls and Hispanic girls, I consider it like enslavement personally. So there was a docuseries on Lifetime that came out, and I was blown away.
It was on Lifetime.
That's when I texted you, Tanya. Yeah, after I watched that series, I was like, I know I don't know her, but I want to have a conversation with her. Like, what?
Yeah.
Tell it what. You know, because you have the, you know, Black girl's perspective. What the hell? That was crazy.
The crazy thing about it is we just moved a couple years ago from where that happened in Johns Creek. We live literally right around the corner from his house. And then on top of that, him and another guy introduced themselves to my oldest daughter, and Mrs. Kiki at the time. She was like maybe 18 years old, and my niece, which was Jakaya, and I can remember coming home one day and they were getting dressed and they were going out, and I'm like, well, where are you guys going? Well, we just got an invite, you know, to the studio with R. Kelly. In my view, in my head at the time, I didn't think about it, and me and my daughter that night got into a big fight. And I took her keys to her car and I did not let her go. And I told her, if you walk out this house, that's it, I'm done. And I never had issue with that. And just so happened, that was the end of that. We didn't argue about it anymore. She didn't go. I changed her phone number and everything. And that was it. And then all of a sudden I'm like, Kiki, do you remember this? And
she was like,
Mommy, you were so right, Mommy. What if,
that's a freaking blessing right there.
Oh my goodness.
God.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to take up too much of the interview talking about R. Kelly, but if for parents out there, if you haven't watched it, I think it's worthy of watching because A, it talks about this whole mentality of people in power taking young girls and grooming them in a sexual manner, and I've heard nothing of that in cheerleading, and I want to make sure that it never happens.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a lot of beautiful girls in our industry, so watch it.
Watch it.
Watch that. Watch the 60 Minutes on Lasser. And but I that was so funny that I was watching it and not having ever met Tanya, even though you know we've texted here and there over the year, I was like, I want to talk to her. Like, I want to know what she thinks about this because that was crazy to me. Isn't that crazy? And that's a crazy story.
Yeah, and that is wild that you even like have the story to even.
And I think it's important for them to talk about it because the R. Kelly thing also kind of pointed out the whole perspective of black. These victims were black girls. Like if that stuff was happening to white girls, and I'm not trying to be racist in any way by saying that, that would not have happened for as long as it happened. It wouldn't.
Mm.
But
no.
Black girls have to, you know, that's why I was like, I want to talk to Tanya.
Yes.
And now we've got Tanya and Sharita here.
It's crazy because I've always told Angel, I said, Angel, I know you want to go to the Stingray Gym and the Georgia All-Stars, but you got to look at it like this. So, you know, you're not coming in there, this petite little girl, you know, you got this, you know, crazy looking, you know, hair, which they see it as dead or whatever. It's not straight. It's kinky. Mm-hmm. You know, your eyebrows basically touching together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you think you have to go in there 10 times better than anybody in the gym. That's the only way you're going to be able to stand out and you're going to be able to make your mark. Other than that, you can't go because I'm not going to waste my time dealing with heart rate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to waste my time, you know, nor my money dealing with you crying and your feelings are getting hurt because, you know, I know it all too well. So what I am going to do is I'm going to tear you down, but I'm going to build you back up. You're going to be the strongest. No one, no coach, no matter what color they are, will be able to say anything to you that will break you because I would have done everything I could have done to prepare you for it. And that's what I did. I was so hard on Angel. I mean, Angel used to do 5 miles a day just because, like, before practice. I mean, just, I used to be so hard on her because I didn't want her to go through that.
Well, I mean, she's... Technically speaking, as far as I know, the first cheerleader, even though she didn't go for cheerleading because it's not an Olympic sport, but she's the first cheerleader I know in the Olympics. Is that accurate enough to say?
I'm going to put it there.
So,
her tumbling is insane. Her power tumbling.
So she's got that. She's got the talent. She's got the skills, you know, royalty, fame. But what also comes comes across to me is her strength. Like, not, and I'm not talking power tumbling strength. I'm talking like, I remember there was this one post. She was, I think, coming back from some competition. I don't know what happened, but someone was racist to her at a store. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
I think I might have sent that to you, Marcus, mm-hmm. when it happened. But
yeah,
she had like.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, how good she is. It doesn't, like, for example, it doesn't matter how good she is. It doesn't matter that she's ranking number one in the U.S. or whatever. If they decide you're good, okay, I understand that. If they decide they don't want to put you on the floor and we're going to put somebody that's up under you on the floor, they have that power. And they have done that, you know, that's this. We're talking about the power tumbling.
Yeah,
world.
Yeah.
You know, this has been going on for years, years, years. So it doesn't matter how strong she is, how good she is, how many battles we fight, you know, and I keep telling her, keep fighting.
Well, you've raised a fighter because I've seen it on her social media that she is a strong, independent. Can I say black woman? Am I allowed to
and
say
her,
that?
And her confidence, you can tell everything through her confidence.
Yeah. And her love for you. Like, I feel like, you know, I hear you talking right now and, you know, I feel a little bit like you're beating yourself up for being so hard on her. But look what you accomplished.
Look what you created.
You know, props to you. I mean, I could never coach my child. I could barely listen to cheer music. So let me, I know your time is very precious and we only have a limited amount of time with you. As someone who's seen this industry grow and evolve so much over the last few years. What are your hopes and dreams for the future of it? Like, what do you think cheerleading as a sport needs? Like, we've been talking about the glam thing on our podcast. Like, does the glam hurt it or add to it? And, you know, thinking about going into an Olympic sport, you guys have kind of seen what the Olympic process is like. What are your thoughts about cheerleading as a sport?
Sharita, can you help me out with this? Because we talked about this morning. We did.
So, yeah, we had a conversation about it this morning. And I think Tanya and I share a lot of the same sentiments. Personally, for me, I love the glam of, you know, the all-star cheerleading. I've always seen all-star as where pageant meets athleticism. Where the pageantry meets athleticism.
I love it.
And I feel like it's one of the few sports that allows a girl to fully stand in her feminine power. Where she can dress up, and she can put on makeup, and she can curl her hair, and she can wear lashes. In most other sports that are for females, you don't see that. And so I think it's a nice mesh of an intersection of the feminine side of athleticism that sometimes is not always there in other places. And so I welcome it. And I feel like if we strip that part out, we kind of look like everything else. It starts looking like collegiate cheer, school cheer, sideline cheer. It doesn't have the glamour. So I think that's okay.
I love your statement about the empowerment of women. And you know, I'm just going to use the word, and this is for the older girls. I'm not talking the little bitties, and this podcast is not for the little bitties. You know, the power of their femininity and not, you know, color it in shame or shame it, because I know I get power from my femininity. So I love
it. And even think about what you said, Marisol, in the very beginning about Tanya's social media page. You were like, I love seeing the journey of you transforming your body. Mm-hmm. So when we start thinking about ourselves as older women, we spend so much time hating our body, right? And trying to change it, mm-hmm. and trying to wish it looked like this. But then we start telling little girls very early to be ashamed of your body, like cover it up. Don't worry. But then as women, that's what we want. So it's very, very confusing narrative. Yeah. So I look at it and go, wow, you know, be proud of who you are. Be proud of, you know, the way that you were created. And you know, and you were kind of reflecting back to the R. Kelly part. There were people, we posted in the group, what is the conversation that we need to have in Black Girls Cheer, you know, as a result of surviving R. Kelly. Because my perspective on the R. Kelly was, this isn't just about one person. This is one incident, mm-hmm. but this is happening every day. Mm-hmm. You know, right now, as we're talking, and now you can edit this as you need to, somebody's boyfriend, somebody's stepdad is doing something inappropriate to a little girl or a little boy, mm-hmm. not just R. Kelly. Mm-hmm. What I've been hoping for is that we don't get so hyper-focused on one person that we're not looking at the big picture. Yeah. So what mm-hmm. is the conversation we're having with our little girls? Exactly. You know, and people started saying, I hope they change their uniform. So we're going to send the message for girls to cover their body, you know, keep somebody who was probably already going to look at them anyway from looking at them. See, so it goes back to the victim thing, blaming the victim.
And the thing is, you know, to like piggyback on what you just said and then use Tanya and Angel as an example, I think you do the opposite. You know, you raise someone so strong and so vibrant and so confident mm-hmm. in themselves. No man is going to feel like, oh, I can take advantage of this girl. And for those kids who fall through the cracks that don't have the support system to raise them with that sense of empowerment, I think it's, you know, on us, on me, on you girls at Black Girls Cheer, on women in this world to be like, no, every single one of you, I don't care if you have a horrible relationship with your mother, if your dad's not in the picture, if you are 12 years old and listening to this, and you are worth everything.
Everything.
And no one should shame you, put you down, or make you think that you're not good enough. That would be my version of what the conversation needs to look like.
Yes.
I think women are now going through a thing where we're getting a sense of empowerment, and we're looking back at the way our generation has been treated, and we're like, we're not raising girls like that. We're not Absolutely. Raising them to be like, I'm going to get paid 70 cents on the dollar for what you get paid. Things that I've accepted. So anyway, I feel like we could talk for hours and hours. And I want both of you back on at another point. But I know you both have appointments to get to. So thank you so much for this conversation and for coming on and letting me drop R. Kelly on you.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. All right. Can I just circle back on one thing? I just want to make sure that I did not say or imply in any way that victims of abuse.
I don't think so.
You know, it was a heavy topic in such a compressed amount of time.
Yes.
So it's something we're going to have to circle back on. It was crazy to me. Like, it was crazy.
It's fun to see you. to Dang see girl. You like that. Welcome. Now you get the heat of when this is about to air.
Well, I just want to say one thing. Like, I'm an official honorary member of Black Girls Cheer. I have the receipt. I, like, texted both of them. Like, can I be a I think I sent it to you. The one thing I want to say, and the reason, you know, I'm so excited about it, even just having the conversation about it, is because it's my podcast. I'm going to say it. Slavery was not that long ago.
It wasn't.
It just was not. Like, if you look at time as a you know, timeline, linearly, and you just graph it out there, it was like in my mother's lifetime. There was still, you know.
Isn't that crazy?
So that's one. Two, I feel like between Black Lives Matter, is it Kilpatrick? The football player that was kneeling last season on football and NFL.
Well, you know,
we're the worst sports host, but him. and just
Kaepernick.
Kaepernick, okay.
See, I'm good.
Just, you know, all this unrest in the world and stuff. I think it's required of us to just have the conversation so that we can heal, so that we can move on, so that it's all equal and fair. That's the conversation. All lives matter. Of course, all lives matter.
Yes.
And that's the point of Black Lives Matter. Like, that's the actual point. It's not to be in your face. It's not to cause you discomfort. Mm-hmm. You know, it is to say, I don't have to have a conversation with my almost 17-year-old son about anything other than if a cop stops you, be respectful.
Yes.
I don't have to say, show your hands, make sure they're always visible, kneel, put your hands behind your head. Like, I don't, things are not equal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm such a supporter of Black Girls Cheer, of anything that just educates us to all truly be equal. That's all we want. My father was a racist. Straight up, it didn't matter if you were Black, it didn't matter if you were Chinese, it didn't matter if you weren't from Spain. He even hated on Hispanics and Latins, okay? If you weren't from Spain, he was just, you weren't the same.
Really?
Really. So racism exists.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not gonna, you know, and stereotypes are stereotypes for a reason. And it's not just because they're true. It's not. Some of them are true. Some of them are not. Some of them are just things that have been perpetuated in our society over and over that we make it true. So that's all. I'm just grateful for the conversation. It's like early in on it. But what I wanted to say is, Marisol Sanchez, believe things are not all equal right now. But our core is to be equal, to say that, to really, really live that.
And mean it.
And mean it. And so if I can have help in any way, I will. So if I have a platform, I will.
Amen.
So that's what I got to say about that.
No, amen.
it frustrates me because this color of skin is literally to that be the reason that people are carry so much shame and so much hatred goes on about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same as if different eye colors. It's like it's just a genetic difference. Yeah. There's nothing else. Like
everything's same on the inside.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. You wanted to say something about Broadway, and I totally like took that away. I'm sorry. You want to talk about Broadway, and I was like, oh, Black Lives Matter, and I'm not even black. I'm so
old. It's a complete switch.
Pivot.
But
we have seen gains, is I think. Let me put a lead in for you.
Okay, thank you.
We have seen gains. You know, the most beautiful thing about, to me, all this movement is to see people moving forward. And I saw this great cartoon, and it was like a race, two people lined up, a white man and a black woman lined up, and he says to her, there's a finish line. It says it's the exact same distance. And the woman's lined up to race too, but she has like a big bowling ball attached to her foot. And there's like knives and, you know, like her path in the race is like filled with a bunch of obstacles, like really heavy hitting obstacles. Mm-hmm. It's not the same. The race to the finish line is not the same. No. But with all that, you see... We're seeing growth. We're seeing change. The younger generation is not like... they're evolving at mm-hmm. a much faster rate because of these things like these phones. And and to that effect, you have a story about four beautiful women who are like leading in Broadway right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes, yes. I just know of like two official ones, but... Broadway welcomed their first Black Glinda in Wicked, which I was super excited about. And their first Black Evan Hansen in Dear Evan Hansen. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever.
It's awesome. And there is Kerry Washington. She's the actress from Scandal. Had a Broadway debut. And that's huge. Like, you don't understand. That's huge.
Yes.
Hamilton is really should...
I get us
so much credit for that. Because he, Lin-Manuel, I think that's the way you pronounce his name, he used black actors in white roles. Like Aaron Burr was black.
Yeah.
he played Hamilton. He's Hispanic. He's Puerto Rican. And it didn't matter to the story. It's still a beautiful story. Yeah. You forget. You just look at Aaron Burr as Aaron Burr. You're not looking at his skin color. You're not mm-hmm. looking at that. That was transcendental, and I think...
And they're rapping.
And they're rapping. So cool. Imagine
Thomas Jefferson rapping.
Yeah. So I think... what I'm saying is all this stuff, the NFL protests last year, mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter, all these things, it's painful. It's hard to see. We want to look away from it. We, you know... but I think we have to talk about it.
Yeah, we do.
And just to move on and get to the... But I think we're also seeing progress.
Yes.
You know, Angel Rice is part of that progress.
Yes.
I would say... I mean, I'm not ranking or rating the cheerleaders of cheerleading. But everyone knows who Angel Rice is.
Yeah.
She's the first and only one, maybe, that went to the Olympics, even though it wasn't in the sport of cheerleading, mm-hmm. but power tumbling. So...
Girl is bad.
you know she's listening to the podcast because it was her mom's. I mean, I expect
I would
her.
Hope so.
All right.
Hey, girl.
Hi. Why would you want to have her on the podcast, and what would you ask her?
Why? Because she is just like a master in our sport. She, her tumbling... She does things that I could never, ever imagine doing. Yeah. what I would ask her, the hardest tumbling skill that she learned, which, and that can go with like cheerleading tumbling or power tumbling. Cheerleading tumbling is hard enough. I couldn't imagine like doing like double layouts, whips, like full in back outs and stuff.
I don't even know what you're saying. So. I would want her on because obviously she's a leader in the industry and she has a huge voice. So I'd want her on. What I would ask her, I'd ask her probably, well, one, okay, this is where I go with the woo-woo stuff again. In yoga, you've heard the phrase namaste.
Yes.
Okay, so namaste means the light in me. The translation is light in me sees the light in you. Light is not necessarily light as like a beam of light. Mm-hmm. Light it could be anything. So like if to you, I would say the creativity, my love of being creative sees your love of being creative. That's why we have this podcast. Like the light in me sees the light in you. And that could be anything. Like there's something that resonates in all of us with each other. We have more in common than opposite. For me with Angel, the hustle. When I'm like working my three different things, she is too. And I adore that. I adore anyone who works hard. She did this funny Instagram post. It was a video of someone saying like, you know, don't ask me to post, like pay me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I wanted to high five her. Like, yeah.
She did that.
It was, yeah. But I guess I'm sure people, you know, with her huge following asked her to promote things and stuff. And if she has a platform and sell it all, I'm with you.
Yes.
I got you. That's what I would like to talk to her about. Like, what are her future, like, you see that all, like, I mean, I would want to go back and ask Tanya, like, you all are opening a gym, right? At some point.
At some point in time.
There's going to be the Rice Academy, you know? Do you imagine? They would have, like, a whole dynasty.
We should get some of that name.
Let us know. We'll invest. No, I'm kidding. Anyway. Yeah, that's what I would like to talk to her about that. It'll happen when it'll happen.
It is.
Anything else, Marcus? God, we had a lot in this. This was a jam packed.
Yes.
How do we do it? Cheerleading, spirituality,
social media. Ups, oh downs.
Yeah. <That's>... R. Kelly. We are all in one podcast.
Killing it. You're welcome.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast. For this week, our featured item on our Amazon affiliate store, I think will be the Brené Brown book series. I talk a lot about shame, mm-hmm. and I think it's something that any parent, any person, any child, really, but it's written for adults, should learn. And coaches, I'm not one to, I don't know anything about coaching, but coaches have a huge power over their kids. Any coach, I'm not talking just cheerleading, they're teachers. Yeah. It's just a different word for a teacher. Coach is a teacher. And, you know, if shame is part of your motivational toolkit, it's really bad. So I would highly recommend it. If you're not into reading the book, then definitely Google Brené Brown, her TED Talk. It's about 20 minutes worth anyone's time. I'll put that in the show notes. I think I've already put it, but I'll put it again.
Do it.
What we got coming up? I don't know. We have a lot, so let's not say it because we have to see how it all lands. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to the new listeners.
Sean, the producer guy.
Seth, awesome podcast. He has a YouTube channel. Did you catch that on his social media? He has a YouTube channel. I don't have the name of it, but Seth.
Rosenhagen.
Follow him and check out his YouTube channel. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Hey there. This is Sean, the producer guy. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And while Marcus and Marisol cheer you on, please cheer them on by checking out the Cheer Bomb podcast on Facebook and Instagram. Or better yet, share this podcast. Have a great week.
Cheer Bomb. We are strong. We are powerful. We are cheerleaders.
Hurry into Old Navy. One day only, today. Get 50% off all sweaters for the family, including all cozy crew necks and fabulous Fair Isles. Hurry, it's just one day only, today, at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Hurry, ends tonight. Valid 2/18, excludes in-store clearance.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.